God, would you give me the right things to say from this point forward? God, I want to speak your word and not mine. I want people to hear from you this morning and not from me. God, would you be in this room speaking to every heart like only you can do? In Jesus' name, amen. We are in James this morning, the book of James. If you don't know where that is, it's towards the end. James comes right after Hebrews. And if you don't know where Hebrews is, I can't help you. Use your table of contents. One of the things that my mom, and I'll just let you in a little secret of my family. We have grown up, obviously, in the church. Well, maybe that's not obvious. It is to me. It's not to you. We've grown up in the church and in Sunday school. And so many times my mom has gone through the books of the Bible. And just recently, she's doing it again over at WAPS. And she said to me, she goes, "You need to say them so you can get your name on the wall." I said, "What?" This is like my 30th time through them. And I'm only 26. So I said, she says, "You need to, okay, fine." So I said them for her. And she goes, "Okay, yeah, you know them. Yeah, I know them." But, it's a good challenge to learn them. Book of James, chapter 1, verse 19. So you're there with me. You noticed the mirrors on the stage. If you didn't, wow. I would encourage you to work on your observation skills. They're all there, and they're all facing you, but they're, I hope, in the most part, except if you're in the balcony, they're facing up. So most of you are okay. You might have noticed it, and you were like trying to look away when you were worshiping. I was like, don't look at the mirror. But I was trying not to make anyone uncomfortable, but it's applicable. Mirrors. My title this morning is Mirrors. I want to deal with the issue of reflection. Reflection of the Word of God. More specifically, I want to give a challenge this morning to move from a place of knowing what we believe to a place of acting what we believe. Our text this morning is from the book of James, and there's a good chance you've heard it before, but I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. We as the church of Christ, so big C church, not TPA, but TPA, Wapsnagwadam, the E-Free Church, you know, they're all in this, the Alliance Church, all of those on the church ministerial, you didn't know they were together, but we all meet regularly. We are all the church. We're all called to talk, not to talk like Christians. We're called to be like Christ. We're not called to talk like Christians. We're called to be like Christ. James chapter 1, verse 19, and I'll begin reading in this verse. "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror." Pick one. "In a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." I wrestled for a little while on this text. I want you to know that this week, next week, and the week following, the three sermons I have in a row, God gave me months ago. He said, this is what you're going to do. God will do this to me on a regular basis. And it's a little annoying because when God gives you a sermon, you want to preach it now. But he'll throw it at you and go, now wait until the time is right. Oh, man. When God told my dad to plant a church in this town, he told him 14 years before we did it. God said, you're going to plant a church. Now wait. And 14 years later, God said, go. So I can wait a few months. I wrestled for a while. Because there's parts of this, you could break this into three sermons. And suddenly you got nervous because I'm preaching all of them. But this is all one sermon today. And I said, I don't know, God, where. And he said, no, take it all. Okay, we'll take it all. As believers, God is more interested in the action of our salvation than in the knowledge of our salvation. If I can give you two big, complicated words, we're really good at orthodoxy. That's the knowledge of what we know, of what we believe. We're good at that. Really good at that. We're weak in our orthopraxy. That is the action, the practice of our knowledge, of our faith, of what we believe. Some of you are like, speak for yourself, Pastor. I've got the orthopraxy down fine. What if the church actually did all the things it believes is important? What if we loved one another? I mean, all of the one another's. We pick and choose. That's the problem. What if we put into action all those words we've spoken? Can I challenge you something? If people don't know you're a Christian, except by what you speak, there's a problem. Your faith should be evident without you having to make an announcement. We are called to be like Christ. And here are three ways we can do that. My key word is be. First, we need to be hearers. Be hearers. He opens this and says, be quick to listen, slow to speak. Some of us need to really hear that right there. Slow to become angry. We need to be hearers. See, it is true, and I'm going to get into this in a second, that he does say, and this is the part we always focus on, don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers. He says, don't merely listen. He qualifies that. We still should listen. Just don't merely listen. Because there's an issue in the church where we've got a lot of believers that are doing things for God that they've not heard from him. And they're going to end up making a mess if they haven't already. It's when we get so zealous for God that we stop listening to him. We can do that in the church. Oh, but this is the right thing to do. This is the right thing to do. There's a lot of things that are the right thing to do. As a church, what we need to focus our attention on is getting to know our Father a little better so that we can listen to his leading. It's the hardest thing to teach people how to listen to God because I really don't know how I do it either. I've learned what his voice sounds like. I've learned what his leading is. People don't think it. That's the problem with it. I guess that makes it right in a way. It's between me and God. You didn't really hear from God. Well, okay. Maybe not. If you find a reason to back that up, that'd be wonderful. See, we do need to hear. We need to be hearers. Hearers of the word. Stapled my pages together. That was a mistake. There's still a danger in acting when there's been no listening. I have heard it over and over and over again, both in my ministry days and my pre-ministry days. I'm beginning to realize at this stage in my ministry, and that sounds silly because I'm so new into it, but I'm beginning to realize that all of those years as a teenager growing up in a pastor's home, I'm pulling from those. I learned things in those years, and I didn't know I was learning. I mean, I've learned the church in those years because I saw it. People want to share their heart with my dad. Meant they wanted to rip a strip off of him and tell him how lousy of a pastor he was. Share their heart. People have concerns. Pastors get scared. I have a concern. Oh boy. You're concerned. What did I say this time? People want to do these good things. And I've watched people say, you know, I feel God is leading me this way. I don't. I really don't feel God is leading you that way. And there have been times where God has challenged my heart to challenge them. And I've said, I don't think so. Check again. Pray again. Roll up the rim. Please pray again. But then there have been times where I know it's the wrong decision. God is speaking that to me. That's not what they should do. And he said, and it's the weirdest thing when God says, but let them do it. Okay. And I've watched that happen. A couple years later, they come back and they're broken. I was wrong. Yeah, I know. God told me then, but he needed you to go through that. Well, it was a hard thing to tell them. And they're like, what, you knew? Yeah. But you're better now. God needed that to happen. He needed you to make a wrong decision. He was going to use it to his glory in the end. He knows you. He knows what you're planning. We need to be hearers. They were doing something that was good. Everybody else would have said, that's a good idea. It wasn't what God wanted, but it was good. Right now, there's a person, I'll say under my influence, that way I don't say where they're from, who are making a decision to move away from Terrace for a time. They've asked if we think it's right, and we don't. And I've challenged them. Have you been talking to God about this? Has this been a matter of prayer? Because all the reasons you've given me up to this point are not. You give me all the reasons this is good. Fabulous. Is it what God wants? We need to be hearers. James says we should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. I didn't do it. Intentionally. We generally get angry because we weren't truly listening. Think about it. We get angry because we come to a conclusion before we've heard the end of the argument, you know? How many of you realize that you do this? Maybe the women are better at listening than the men. We don't need to get into that. But I know as a man that I don't listen always. What am I doing when I'm in a conversation? I'm beginning to plan my response before they've finished speaking. And I'm like, well, I know how I'm going to answer this. But if they ever go off course from what I've expected them to say, we're going to have a problem. People get angry because they didn't finish listening. We need to be slow to speak, slow to become angry. We need to be quick to listen. We need to choose to hear first, speak a little bit later. You wonder why I'm quiet? You don't think that because you only hear me here. In a meeting context, I won't speak a whole lot. I'm taking all of the information in. If there's a debate going on, I'm listening to both sides. And I'm formulating something based on listening to both sides. And then I come in with this little, my little 2 cents. And they kick me out. No, but we start speaking instead of listening. It becomes a problem. We do the same thing in our prayer life. We come to God with our problems and we don't listen. We just talk all the time. Be quick to listen, slow to speak. Our prayer needs to be more the other way around. What if you just came to God and said, this is what's going on? Hell. And then you just sat in silence. Most of you would go crazy. You might have to find the right place to do that. Can't really sit in silence in Tim Hortons. Unless you have really good headphones. Plug your ears. And you got to find these times to listen, because God is willing and ready to speak. But you know what's so amazing about him is he won't if you're talking. He won't interrupt you. Isn't he a good God? I mean, and this works to our advantage, because if life's falling apart, I always tell people, go yell at him. He'll let you get it all out, and he's okay. He's not going to be all offended and go cry. His love and his grace and his mercy will absorb whatever you're in the middle of dealing with. And then he'll say, okay, now let me speak. And he'll usually say something that you don't think has anything to do with what you're going with, but somehow it touches your heart. That's what we do in this room on Sunday mornings. At least one of our songs is going to be about praise and glory to him, to get our attention off of our issues for a second. This morning we said, come, Lord Jesus, come. We invited him in, and as we were singing that, I almost preached right there. But I restrained myself. Inviting God into the situation. We need to become listeners. Be hearers. The second thing is be doers. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. We cannot simply stop at listening. What we hear should move us to action. What we hear should move us to action. When God speaks into our life, it's going to move you to do something. Always does. Sometimes it moves you to repentance. Sometimes it moves you to praise. Sometimes it moves you to tears. When God speaks, it's going to move you. He speaks a lot through the pages we find in the book. Oh, he speaks a lot in here. Why do you think we tell you to read it? It's not because we want you to be familiar with our material. We know, as preachers, as pastors, as leaders, we know the power of what is in these pages. And it doesn't even matter, really, the translation you're reading, because none of it in English is right anyway, because it came from Hebrew and Greek. But we know that there is power in these pages. For a while, I worried about what translation was exactly right, and God said, don't you trust that I was a part of that process? Okay. It works for me. I'll leave it at that. We should be moved to action. This is where James introduces the mirrors. You've been wondering why I had them up here, because I haven't mentioned them. He says that not doing the word but hearing it is like looking in a mirror, looking intently, and then walking away and forgetting what you looked at. How many of you use a mirror? Uh-oh. I had to raise your hand. It's good. Yeah. The rest of you just, I don't know how you've lived this long, but a mirror will cause you to change something, won't it? Often. When I get up in the morning, here, you're getting a little secret here. My hair is a disaster every morning. And I go to the mirror, and it will empower me to change something. I see a reflection and go, oh no, that does not leave the door. We got to fix that. I study intently and it moves me to action. None of you have that problem, but that's me. James is saying that the reflection you see in the mirror, it will be remembered. And I was having fun dealing with this issue. I was saying, God, but why? Why mirrors? Why would you bring up a mirror? When you look into a mirror, do you understand that for the most part, you're constant enough as a person that you're going to be more or less the same when you come back to that mirror? Church, when we read and study into the Word of God, did you know that He's just enough constant that when we come back to this, we're going to see the pretty much the same thing we saw. We're going to see a God that loves us and cares for us. We're going to see His grace. When you begin, do you understand the parallel there? There's a bit of a constant going on. You're going to walk to a mirror. You're going to expect to see. I'm going to see myself in the mirror. When I go back to the mirror, if my hair is a different color, I'll freak out. Because that would be weird. Looking intently at your reflection will not leave you wondering about yourself. But note this too. If you just walk past a mirror and see your reflection at a... I hate my reflection. See your reflection as you pass, you could potentially forget. Just a glance. Oh. Wait, what was I wearing? You could forget. But too many Christians that they just glance. You know, it never changed my life. If you're at a place in your devotional life where reading the Word has lost its power for you, start reading less but studying deeper. Try it. Dig. I mean, get into it. The beauty of this book, the reason the Word of God is called alive and active is because it's so massive and there are so many subjects covered. And because it is alive, because the Spirit of God is bringing it to life in us, as the believer, when you read the Word, as the believer, you're going to begin to see things that you didn't see before. Those of you who've been saved a while, you know this. How many of you read a passage and you're like, I didn't even know that was in there? 4 years of Bible college. I didn't even know. I've said these things. How did I get through school and not know this was in here? Different messages will have different impact. Jesus wept might mean nothing to you in a certain season of life, but in another season of life, it'll impact you deeply. It may move you to action. Your reflection. Similarly, when you look into the Word of God, the reflection you're actually seeing is God's. When you look into this, you're seeing God. And it shouldn't be something you forget. It should move you to action. Also, when you look into a mirror, you do not forget what you look like because you were looking at something that doesn't change. You know that you're going to be the same when you come back. God's Word is the same, does not change. We need to be mirrors reflecting God's image. This comes by being hearers first and then being doers. The doers is the reflection part. The mirror works when something is faced and it reflects the light back. And so when... The light. Anyway, come on. Nope, Kate. You don't say amen? Somebody does. When the light shines into the mirror, you're the mirror, you reflect the light back. That's the scientific way a mirror works. It's just light being reflected back. When God's light shines into your heart, you're a mirror. You're going to reflect it back. We need to reflect God's image. The third thing is we need to be humble. Uh-oh. If you have to talk about you all the time, you are not reflecting God. It's really quiet in here. James says, if you claim to be religious, but you can't keep control of your tongue, I paraphrase that as you're just a blabbermouth, then your religion is worthless. You deceive yourself. We got a lot of people that want to talk about their call and talk about their gift. I'm guilty of this. Been there. It's tough to completely eliminate that temptation. Especially if you're in my kind of situation, young in ministry, I'm always wanting to tell people that I am qualified for what I've been called to do. But nobody wants to hear it. Why? Nobody wants you to talk about yourself. It makes sense. God's been challenging me on that. You know what he told me when I was at conference this last month? You might have wondered where I was. If you didn't, I forgive you. But I was away for a few weeks, and God challenged me and said, with identity, we were talking about identity, something I've struggled with for a long time. Who am I? And how do I get other people to understand who I am? God basically said, I don't. Get over yourself. But then he said, it is his deepest intention to expose your calling. You don't need to talk about yourself. Because if you are called of God, and if you are doing what God has asked you to do, you know you're operating in the realm of where he has put you. You know you're doing the thing he wants you to do. He's gifted you to do. He's equipped you to do. You know all of that's good. Then the only thing you need to do is be faithful. You've got no control over anything else. You can't control whether people like you. You can't control whether your ministry goes anywhere. You can't control those things. All you can control is your faithfulness to God's calling and leading. I can only be faithful. I can't worry about being successful. As long as I'm faithful, God, who is faithful, will do the part that I can't do. God, who is faithful, will step in and say, I'm going to do this for you. His deepest intention is to expose your calling. He doesn't want it to be a secret either. But he doesn't need you to trumpet it around. Just be faithful. That was a challenge for me. Keep yourself from being polluted by the world. And look after those in need. Look after the outcasts. Look after those who actually have nothing. This is an action. We don't need to announce our calling or our gifting. When Jesus called his disciples, he said, I will make you fishers of men. I will make you. We skip to the fishers of men part and get excited about the fact that the disciples' job was to go and collect souls for the kingdom. But we skip the part where Jesus said, I will make you. Not you will make you, I will make you. God is the one that completes the work. God calls us and he will make you. Note that God will call you to things that on your own you cannot accomplish. I know that. People say, well, I can't really do that. And that's their answer for why God hasn't called them there. God sometimes still wants to put you in those places. It's been my experience on numerous occasions. God, why do you have me here? Why? I can't do this. I did not go to school. Now, don't worry. But I didn't go to school to be a youth pastor. It wasn't my school program. I went to school to just be a lead pastor. Why? Why, God? Oh. It's good to ask why, but just be careful because he might answer you. And usually when God answers, and this has been the way it is for me, he kind of just says, you know what, just trust that I got this and be faithful. That's not the answer I wanted. I said, why? No, just trust me. All right. God is amazing. I assure you, you can trust him. Absolutely. With your whole life. with every ounce of your life, with your family. You can trust him with everything. Just want you to know that. Our only job is to be faithful. Let him do the exalting. It says if we humble ourselves before God, then he will lift us up if we humble ourselves. We skip that part. God's going to lift me up. If you humble yourself, would you be willing to bow before your king? Not in church. Can't bow in this suit. It wouldn't work. Would you be willing? Do you understand if your Christian action needs to be explained and announced? It might be missing the point. What if God is the only one that sees what you do? That's where it gets hard. We have a new lead pastor coming. Did you know that he does a whole lot of work that you'll never see? In the pastoral circle, we always joke that we work one day a week because that's how people view our lives. It's like Sunday, oh man, I can go rest for 6 days. That would be nice. Your pastor is going to do hard, hard work. Because this task right now that I'm doing, and I'm sure that Pastor Mel will feel the same way, is of so much importance that we're going to put in the time to make sure that we aren't A, speaking heresy, or B, hurting your feelings too much. We're not afraid to hurt your feelings, especially if God's in this, but we're not going to hurt them too much. We got to gauge it just right. You're terrible. What if God is the only one that sees what you do? If you're really doing what you know you've heard from God, don't worry. Jesus spent a lot of time saying, pray or do what you do. Pray, give. Don't do it with public announcement. When you pray, don't pray on the street corner. He was dealing with specific situations. But he says, make it about you and God. Don't worry. Let God honor what is done in secret. Let him who sees what you do in secret, let him honor you. Don't worry about anything else. Church, we need to take the things that have been spoken, and this is coming straight at a conference from when we were down there, and I'm bringing it to you. We need to take the things that have been spoken over our lives, the things that we've listened to that weren't God, the things that have caused damage and really entered. We need to bring those things, guess what, into his presence. We don't think about that. We want to bring him all of the good stuff. Bring the nasty things that you don't want to show God because he sees them anyway. He just wants you to relinquish them. Bring them into his presence and say, this is me. This is my whole mess. This is what I have to offer. And give it to him and watch what he'll do with your life. If there's ever going to be a change in your heart, you're going to have to let go of something to grab something new. Lastly, I know I'm kind of going. It's because we had a big text. Lastly, I want to deal with and touch on, what is it that we're supposed to be doing and hearing? I gave you those three things. You had to be hearers, be doers, be humble. Mark 12, 29 to 31 tells us about the greatest commandments. Jesus says, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. I could have spent a whole other sermon talking about the fleshing out of that. That was Jesus bringing it down to two things. That is the entire commandment system brought down to two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the doing and the hearing. All your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And I need to remind you, There is no loving God with everything and hating your neighbor. They have to go together. If you don't like the people around you, and you think you love God, you don't love him yet with everything. If it was easy, everyone would do it. There's a reason why the world's running the other way, because it's going to take a little bit of time and it's going to be a little bit difficult. You can look around this room, don't do it now, and see the people that you don't want to love. And as I look around, don't worry, that's just what I do as I speak. He looked at me. There are things we are to do. Love God with everything and love our neighbor. These are the things we need to do. That is the best summary of God's entire law that brings freedom that James talks about. We need to be mirrors. And if we're going to do that, then we're going to love people. The loving God part, that's where the light is being shone. Shone, is that how you say the past tense is show? Shine? Anyway. Into the mirror. This is the loving God part. It's being, the mirror is now reflecting God because we're loving him with everything we have. But the loving people part is where we're reflecting that back. And I'm sorry if the light's really like, not that sorry. But anyway, love, we're reflecting it back. Some of you are like, I did not want to see myself in a mirror this morning. Reflecting it back. Because God's light shines in, and that's the whole point of this. To better understand what those two commandments look like, you're going to have to read more scripture. Jesus summarizes it like it's easy. Oh, just love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your... Just love the... And love your neighbor as yourself. Simple stuff. Not until you start digging. Then it gets tough. And actually, loving people, we know that's tough. If you're married, you know that's tough. Right? I can say these things. It's lovely. Of course, I might be single forever now, but... Be slow to speak. Be slow to become angry. But do not be slow to act. That's the part we need to work on. God is not passive. He's active. He's moving. He's doing things now. Church, the Spirit is moving now. And you might miss it because you're not listening. Because you're just paying too much attention to everything else. See, the beauty of it is when we come into service on a Sunday morning, God is here. I always feel a little silly when we sing songs about inviting him. But then I remember that that's our we need that. He's here, but we're usually just too focused on something else. Too focused on what we saw in the mirror this morning. How long it took to fix that. Too focused on, you never notice, those of you with families, how Sunday morning is the time everybody fights. Or, okay, it's just my family. But Sunday morning, I mean everybody. Mom and Dad are not going to appreciate me saying this, but they fought on Sunday morning. Like, and it was always about time. Hurry up. We're going to be late. Don't tell them I said that. Let us live out our lives behaving in a similar manner, reflecting his glory and grace. I want you to know and remind you and challenge you that we need to be like Christ. That's the most important thing, at least for this morning. Be like Christ. Whether you do a prayer walk, whether you do just attend any small group, you're just doing a Bible study with other people, whether you smile at somebody you don't normally smile at, whether you show joy in the toughest season anyone's ever seen you go through, just be like Christ. Have the kind of mindset that'll take you all the way to the cross when nobody else would dare go. Everyone else would have given up. Sometimes the best testimony we have is the fact that we're still moving and we haven't given up in this dark time. You don't always have to smile, but if you can still say God is good. I know sometimes it's really hard, but you know what? God is good. He really is good. You might notice every mirror on the stage this morning is a different size and a different shape. That was accidental, but God is good. Because none of us is going to reflect exactly the same way. That's why God created you to be you. Because the kind of reflection you're going to show is going to be specific and beautiful. Huh. Because remember, every one of us, as unique as we are, was created and made in His image. That means God's pretty complex. So don't worry about it. If your reflection of His light looks different than my reflection of His light, as long as what you're reflecting is His light, don't worry about it. If your reflection of His light is in children's ministry, we need that. If your reflection of His light is in janitorial work, we need that. If your reflection of His light is in music ministry, we need that. If your reflection of His light is in computer tech stuff that I can't get into because I don't understand, we need that. Do you understand that no matter who you are and how you're gifted and what you like and what you're passionate about, God is interested in using it. Like every mirror here is different. You're different. That's okay. God never wanted any one of us to be exactly the same. He made us all different on purpose. I'm going to close in prayer real quick. God, thank you. Thank you for speaking this morning. Thank you, God, for touching our hearts, for speaking into our lives, for showing us a little bit of your truth. Thank you, Father, that you are the source of light that shines into our hearts and changes us. God, would we be ever increasingly reflective of your light? Would we learn what that means more and more? Would we continue to study your word and continue to press into relationship with you? And in so doing, would our reflection of you increase? Would our very presence be like your presence? We would reflect you in a way that when we're there, people are affected. God, we want to be like Christ. We don't want to talk like Christians. Help us be like Christ. You're good, God. You are very good. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.